Learning from the past. For young people around the world, history is 9/11 and the Iraq War, a world of violence, terror, and division. History is the United States rejecting the Kyoto Protocol, trying to eliminate the Millennium Development Goals from international agreements, scrimping on foreign aid, and declaring, "You are either with us or against us." For increasing numbers of Americans and most people around the world, this has been a time of dismay and growing fear. Yet there is another and longer history dating back to the end of World War II, which can give us much guidance and hope. After World War II, despite the perils of the Cold War, world leaders stirred to face common challenges of the environment, population, poverty, and weapons of mass destruction. They invented new forms of global cooperation, such as the United Nations, and global campaigns to eradicate smallpox, immunize children, spread literacy and family planning, and embark on global environmental protection. They proved, despite the odds and cynicism, that global cooperation could deliver the goods. The Cold War nearly went hot in October 1962 when the Soviet Union positioned offensive nuclear weapons in Cuba, in part in response to a failed CIA-led invasion of Cuba the year before, the so-called Bay of Pigs invasion. After the United States and the Soviet Union reached the brink of nuclear Armageddon, the Soviets removed the weapons as part of a secret agreement in which the United States would also remove its tactical nuclear weapons based in Turkey. The world trembled. Many Americans believed that war with the Soviet Union was inevitable, just as some Americans today believe that war with Islamic fundamentalism is inevitable. John Kennedy, in the finest hour of the American presidency after World War II, believed otherwise and helped to lead Americans, Soviets, and the world back from the brink by finding a new path of cooperation, starting with a partial nuclear test ban. Having nearly been pushed to nuclear war by CIA covert operations, followed by Soviet nuclear provocation, and then by hothead U.S. generals eager to launch a first strike against Cuba in response to the Soviet nuclear missile placement, Kennedy was deeply shaken by the ease with which the world had slid toward an apocalypse and by the fragility of life itself. Courageously, in his famous Pierce Address at American University in June 1963, Kennedy urged a global quest to find solutions to human-made problems. Too many of us think that peace is impossible. Too many think it is unreal. But that is a dangerous, defeatist belief. It leads to the conclusion that war is inevitable, that mankind is doomed, that we are gripped by forces we cannot control. We need not accept that view. Our problems are man-made, therefore they can be solved by man, and man can be as big as he wants. No problem of human destiny is beyond human beings. Man's reason and spirit have often solved the seemingly unsolvable, and we believe they can do it again. I am not referring to the absolute, infinite concept of universal peace and goodwill, of which some fantasies and fanatics dream. I do not deny the value of hopes and dreams, but we merely invite discouragement and incredulity by making that our only and immediate goal. Let us focus instead on a more practical, more attainable peace, based not on a sudden revolution in human nature, but on a gradual evolution in human institutions, on a series of concrete actions and effective agreements which are in the interest of all concerned. There is no single simple key to this peace, no grand or magic formula to be adopted by one or two powers. Genuine peace must be the product of many nations, the sum of many acts. It must be dynamic, not static, changing to meet the challenge of each new generation. For peace is a process, a way of solving problems. Having come right to the edge of global destruction, and having peered over the edge, Kennedy, as had no other person on the planet at the time, mustered the eloquence to make vivid precarious position and common fate. So, let us not be blind to our differences, but let us also direct attention to our common interests and to means by which those differences can be resolved. And if we cannot end now our differences, at least we can help make the world safe for diversity. For in the final analysis, Our most basic common link is that we all inhabit this planet. We all breathe the same air. We all cherish our children's future. And we are all mortal. Kennedy's speech, which first and foremost called on Americans to believe in the very possibility of cooperation with a seemingly implacable enemy, changed history. The Soviet leader Nikita Khrushchev called it the finest statement by an American president since Franklin Roosevelt, and declared his intention to negotiate a nuclear test ban with Kennedy. 6 weeks later, the Partial Test Ban Treaty was signed in Moscow, and the Soviet Union and the United States established a modus vivendi that eventually led to the end of the Cold War itself and the re-emergence of Russia and 14 other former Soviet republics as sovereign nations.